Welcome back to Sermons. Now, up till now, we've been dealing with the general rules for all the people of Israel. But starting here in Leviticus 21, we're going to be looking at the rules for the priests only, you know, Aaron and his sons. Hence the title of this episode, Rules for Me, But Not for Thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, There shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. So the priests were not supposed to defile themselves by touching any dead bodies, with the following exceptions. But for his kin that is near unto him, that is, for his mother, and for his father, and for his son, and for his daughter, and for his brother, and for his sister, a virgin that is nigh unto him, which hath had no husband, for her may he be defiled. So, in other words, he could touch the dead bodies of his close family members, just not the dead bodies of any non-family members. Why? Well, if somebody died, there was something wrong with them. And if there was something wrong with them, it might be contagious. And if it was contagious, the priest might catch it, and we wouldn't want a priest coming down with a deadly disease. So we don't want the priest touching dead bodies or even coming close to them, unless they were close family members that he was likely to have had close contact with right before their deaths anyway. So, you know, he was already exposed. And you may say, yeah, but people die of all kinds of things other than contagious diseases. Why make the rule so general? Well, it's simpler and easier to follow, you know. And besides, even if somebody died in a chariot wreck, for example, they might have had the plague or something. That could have been what made them wreck. Got the plague and passed out, and the horse went out of control and flipped the chariot. So those chariot wreck deaths should probably get counted as plague deaths, right? You know, our public health officials do stuff like that even today, or so I've heard. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. You know, these were the things that the priests of other faiths did to mourn the dead at that time. Shaving their heads and their beards, cutting themselves, you know. The Yahwehlians didn't want the Israelites emulating those people or those practices. They shall be holy unto their God and not profane the name of their God. For the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God they do offer. Therefore they shall be holy. They shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane, neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto his God. So don't marry any divorcees. Thou shalt sanctify him, therefore, for he offereth the bread of thy God. He shall be holy unto thee, for I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father, she shall be burnt with fire. And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothes. Neither shall he go in to any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mother. So it was even stricter for the high priest. Now, when it says he shall not go into any dead body, I don't think it's talking about necrophilia here. It's just saying that he shouldn't go into a room where there's a dead body, or you know, maybe even a house where there's a dead body. So I guess he didn't get to attend any funerals whatsoever. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. And he shall take a wife in her virginity. That could be hard to find. A widow, or a divorced woman, or profane, or an harlot, these shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. So not just a virgin, but a virgin of his own people, which make it even harder to find. Neither shall he profane his seed among his people, for I, the Lord, do sanctify him. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. Now, what does this mean, to approach to offer the bread of his God? Well, if you remember, in the Holy of Holies, there was a special table. I call it the Holy Coffee Table. I can't remember what the official name is. And this is where the priest placed that unleavened bread called shewbread for the consumption of the gods. And apparently these gods didn't want to be served by anyone with imperfections or deformities. I guess they just didn't want to look at them. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken-footed, or broken-handed, or crook-backed, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. Ouch. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. So the hunchbacks and midgets and cripples couldn't serve the food to the Yahwehians, but they still got to eat some of the leftovers. Which means that there were hunchback priests and midget priests and crippled priests. They just didn't get to serve the gods. And that's what this next verse means. Only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron and to his sons and unto all the children of Israel. And that's the end of chapter 21. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord. Say unto them, Whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things, which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. What man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper, or hath a running issue, he shall not eat of the holy things until he is clean. And whoso toucheth anything that is unclean by the dead, or a man whose seed goeth from him, or whosoever toucheth any creeping thing, whereby he may be made unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanness, whatsoever uncleanness he hath, the soul which hath touched any such shall be unclean until even, and shall not eat of the holy things, unless he wash his flesh with water. And when the sun is down, he shall be clean, and shall afterward eat of the holy things, because it is his food. That which dieth of itself, or is torn with beasts, he shall not eat to defile himself therewith. I am the Lord. Now, we've been over all this kind of stuff before, you know, in the general rules. There's nothing really surprising here. They shall therefore keep mine ordinance, lest they bear sin for it, and die therefore if they profane it. I, the Lord, do sanctify them. There shall no stranger eat of the holy thing. A sojourner of the priest or an hired servant shall not eat of the holy thing. Now, the so-called holy thing being the peace offerings that, you know, the priests got to eat. The priests and their immediate families. But if the priest buy any soul with his money, he shall eat of it, and he that is born in his house, they shall eat of his meat. So I guess a slave was considered to be a part of the priest's household, even though a hired servant was not. I guess the hired servant would be treated, you know, like an outside consultant or contractor or something. If the priest's daughter also be married unto a stranger, she may not eat of an offering of the holy things. Now, by stranger here, I don't think it means somebody that was totally unknown to the priest. I think it just means anybody other than a priest, you know, a stranger to the priestly class. But if the priest's daughter be a widow or divorced and have no child and is returned unto her father's house as in her youth, she shall eat of her father's meat, but there shall no stranger eat thereof. So if the priest is doing what we've come to call reparenting, you know, if he's reparenting a formerly married daughter, she becomes part of his household again and gets to eat what the other members of the household eat. And if a man eat of the holy thing unwittingly, then he shall put the fifth part thereof unto it, and shall give it unto the priest with the holy thing. And they shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel, which they offer unto the Lord, or suffer them to bear the iniquity of trespass when they eat their holy things, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, Whatsoever he be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his oblation for all his vows, and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering, ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish, of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. So not only did the Yahwehians not want any imperfect servers, you know, any imperfect waitstaff, they didn't want to be served anything imperfect either. And if they were served something imperfect, they'd send it back. You know, complain to the chef, call the manager to the table. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Beeves, I guess, being the plural of beef. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wen, don't know what that is, or scurvy, or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering of fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised, or crushed, or broken, or cut, neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God of any of these, because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them, They shall not be accepted for you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When a bullock, or a sheep, or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam. And from the 8th day and thenceforth it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now, Ellicott's commentary explains this verse this way. Under 7 days, the animal is extremely weak and unfit for human food, and hence must not be offered as the food of God, as sacrifices are called. Yet not only are they called that, I would say, but, you know, they actually were the food of God originally, or the food of the gods. It was only later that this became totally symbolic. And whether it be cow or ewe, ye shall not kill it and her young both in 1 day. Now, I'm not sure what that's about, unless maybe they thought that, you know, it would be too cruel or something to kill them both in 1 day. But really, you know, you'd save the mother cow a lot of grief if you just went ahead and killed her too. And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten up. Ye shall leave none of it until the morrow. I am the Lord. You know, because we wouldn't want it to spoil and then you get sick from it. This is practical advice. Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh, in other words. And that's the end of chapter 22. And the end of the rules that are just for priests. The next chapter deals with feast days, you know, and rules for everybody. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm going to run through this pretty quickly so that maybe we can get far enough along that we can finish up Leviticus next episode. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of rest, an holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein, it is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the 1st day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 7th day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, the promised land, in other words, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, a wave offering, to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf, an he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof, the meatless meat offering, shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven. Unusual. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. Total Holocaust. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean anything by it. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And we saw that before. It's passive charity. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the 7th month, in the 1st day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Boy, they could have really used copy and paste back then, couldn't they? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the 10th day of the 7th month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls. In the 9th day of the month at even, from even unto even, shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the 1st day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings which ye give unto the Lord. Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. You know, booths here meaning some sort of tent-like structure, probably made with those boughs that they just gathered. And this was to remind them of when the Israelites dwelt in tents and the Yahwehlians dwelt in the tabernacle tent in the wilderness. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. See, when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. And that's the end of chapter 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in 1 cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. I guess that's the holy coffee table. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place. For it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord, made by fire, by a perpetual statute. Well, once again, we're out of time. And the next verse begins a story. So we'll put that off till the next time. Story seems kind of out of place with all these rules and regulations, but we'll see. So we'll pick it up right here next time in Leviticus 24:10. Until then, keep the faith, observe all the feast days, follow all the rules and regulations, you know, the ones that apply to you anyway.